The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Gosh, everything would just be so much simpler, so much nicer if there wasn't that difficult person, that person over there. Right? We often kind of have this idea that, you know, we find ourselves in conflict, either literally with somebody that we're talking to or, you know, with something we've experienced or see in the media. And we often can have this idea like, oh, that difficult person. And it can seem, it can appear that we're in conflict over a particular topic, and we are. We are in conflict over a particular topic. Perhaps we have a different view about how things are or how things should be. But really underneath that, kind of like digging underneath that, is we have this, each of the individuals in the conflict are invested in a certain view of themselves. Have this identity and a kind of wish that the other person be different than how they are. Like the other person should, you know, not have that view or should stop doing that behavior. Somehow they are not okay. They can't be who they are. And of course they may be thinking the same thing about us, that we shouldn't be who we are. Or not do the things that we do. So often we're fighting about or we're in conflict about topics, but somehow it's about, like we feel like we have to defend our sense of self, defend our view, defend how we think things should be, and are maybe not even explicitly or consciously feel like the other person should be different. They can't be who they are. They should be different. So loving kindness practice is a way in which we can soften. We can soften both our sense of who we are. I'm a person who has this view and you don't agree, therefore we're in conflict. Or also maybe that just softens just a little bit, but maybe the wish or the desire to defend our views or our sense of self, maybe that's what gets softened. We may still have some ideas, but we don't feel so much like we have to defend it against others. So our conflict or any sense of conflict isn't as escalated or maybe isn't as palpable. So loving kindness practice, whether it's for ourselves or whether it's for others, and either way that we do this, and not doesn't even necessarily have to be loving kindness towards the person with whom we're in conflict with, but just that act of wishing others well, wishing goodwill for others, safety, health, well-being. Just that kind of, it's a type of generosity, a kind of an openness, a giving that helps to soften our own sense of identity, our tightness about how we are. And then when we're less tight about how we are, then there's a little bit more room to allow other people to be how they are. I'm not saying that we have to love everybody all the time and that there aren't some terrible injustices happening. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes we have this idea, oh, this is a difficult person, this is a difficult person. But sometimes we're the difficult person too. We're the one that has this particular view and is defending it, and maybe we feel threatened, our view of ourselves feel threatened, or maybe we have some terrible, maybe it's not even so terrible, but we have some wounding, we have some healing that still needs to be happen, and so we find ourselves being reactive and maybe not responding with the greatest generosity or sensitivity to others. So loving kindness practice can help with not only softening our identity and our tightness around ourselves, but also can maybe help with some of that healing so that we aren't the difficult person. And what I mean by healing in this case is sometimes to allow those parts of ourselves that were kind of maybe secretly, I'll speak for myself, sometimes I was kind of like wishing like, oh, that just that part of myself that I didn't like, would it just go away? And maybe if I don't pay attention to it, it'll atrophy. Turns out it doesn't work so well. If anybody else has tried it, I don't recommend it. But loving kindness practice, especially for ourselves, is a way in that we can welcome all aspects of ourselves. All aspects. Even those parts that we don't like, quote unquote. Even those parts that cause us a lot of discomfort. Even those parts that cause us pain. Somehow, if we were just wishing ourselves well, kind of softening not only our ideas about ourselves, but kind of implicit in that are our ideas about how things should be or how they must be, how we should be. So conflict with others is natural. It's not unnatural. Of course it happens. It doesn't mean that we're failing. When you get groups of people together, there's conflict. But it doesn't mean that we have to like dig in our heels and I'm the one that believes this and you're the one that believes that. But maybe we could use loving kindness as a way to just kind of soften the edges so that we can be okay with the differences. We can be okay with, yes, this person thinks this, I think that. And that's the way it is. Without having to make this person wrong and they better change their views. And again, I'm not saying that we need to condone terrible injustices or terrible things that happen to people. Some of it is done by individuals who have terrible wounding and appear to lack some self-awareness. And I don't want to say that we should just pretend it's all good. We don't have to be in conflict with everybody and with everything. Yeah, so, and maybe with loving kindness practice, I'll say maybe it just helps us to recognize too when we are the difficult people. If we can soften and start to see how things really are, like, oh yeah, I did call that person, you know, or use this language, my tone of voice was that. Maybe we can start to see that and allow it to be there. It's just the way it is. We don't have to beat ourselves up and turn ourselves into bad people. Just, oh yeah, I got triggered right then. I think I said something or did something that probably wasn't helpful. Maybe we can just feel that and feel the discomfort of recognizing that we may have made a mistake, that maybe we have reacted in a way that wasn't wholesome or helpful. Feel the discomfort of recognizing that. But also feel the comfort of kind of noticing, oh yeah, I think that's what really happened. Instead of propping up a sense of ourselves, I'm right, this person is wrong. To see, like, oh yeah, okay, I can see. I did some of these things that may not have been so helpful. But one advantage of like feeling the discomfort of the recognition that of where we may have behaved unskillfully, it makes it more likely that we won't do it again. If we recognize, oh gosh, that's terrible to recognize how I behaved. I speak for myself, like remorse is a terrible, terrible feeling. I don't want to feel remorse. I don't think any of us do. So once we feel it, that can be a little bit of motivation, like I'm going to live my life in a way that I'm minimizing my harm so I don't have to live with all this remorse. So again, loving kindness practice is a way in which we can helps us to accept all parts of ourselves, even those parts that are uncomfortable, so that we can be with the remorse, we can see with the remorse. It helps increase our capacity to be with these difficulties, increase our capability to be with these. So in this way, some loving kindness practice, we may find that there's just a little bit more peace in our lives as we stop making other people wrong or insisting that they be different or insisting that we be different. And then it's quite remarkable what can happen when there's a little bit more peace. People start behaving differently. Not because we're making them or thinking that they should, but it's just kind of what happens. Kind of helps our loving kindness softening our hearts, opening our hearts in a way that feels authentic, not in some sentimental, mushy way, but in a way that feels has integrity with who we are. Can help create the conditions for more peace in our lives, in our lives around us, and hopefully, you know, more wider and wider circles, more and more members of our communities. So here, we're during happy hour, we do loving kindness. We practice it. I'm going to do this with the benefactor and the self. For those of you who've been here before, you know that I've been doing this for quite some time now. It's actually quite meaningful for me to kind of share this practice with you guys. So we'll start with a benefactor, and that is, we use this word benefactor, which is not normally in my vocabulary. It's kind of a, you know, it's a little bit of an interesting word. But somebody for whom it's easy to feel care, respect, warmth, tenderness, loving kindness, kindness. You can choose one word, you can choose all those words, whatever way it is. I kept on talking about softening. For me, I kind of feel that in my body, a softening somehow. That may or may not make sense to you. Not everybody experiences it the same. So we'll start with a benefactor or somebody for whom it's easy to feel love, kindness, warmth. Often it's somebody with whom we have an uncomplicated relationship with. And it may not be a person. Maybe right now what's easiest or most accessible for you is kittens, puppies, babies, something like that. You don't have to choose the most difficult. We're practicing with loving kindness. We're just making it easier and easier for our hearts to move in this direction, to incline towards warmth and care. And then after we've done loving kindness practice with a benefactor or a lovable being, then we'll open it up to include it for ourselves. And with this practice, the way that we teach it here, there are three elements. One is visualizing or having a felt sense in some way of the person or the being for whom we're sending loving kindness. So you can visualize the person or, yeah, like somehow have a sense that they're nearby or whatever way makes sense for you. Some people it's very easy to visualize. For some people it's not quite so easy. And then we also will kind of periodically check in with the body, like with the felt sense, and see if there is some loving kindness, some warmth, some care. Often it's felt in the heart center, in the middle of the chest, maybe a softening in the belly. But there's no guarantees that we do this practice that there will be loving kindness, that all of a sudden you're going to feel love. It's going to be fantastic. We're just creating the conditions and setting our intentions. Sometimes what happens is the opposite. I've had enough of that in my practice where I have this intention for loving kindness and what's coming up is not loving kindness. It's part of the process. Some people use this word purification. It's kind of like just what's coming up. It's maybe all those times of when loving kindness hasn't been available to you. Do the best that you can to see if you can hold it, if you can in some way like make your awareness big, if that makes any sense to you, and allow maybe these non-loving kindness, I'll just use that language, just allow them to be there without having hatred towards hatred or having aversion towards aversion or having ill will towards ill will. Can you, in the best that you can you have kindness towards the ill will that's arising? And maybe that kindness just takes the shape of allowing, just letting it to be there. Or maybe you can't do that. Sometimes these emotions are strong and they really move through us. If anything, at any time in this guided meditation, that if I ever stop talking, that will do. If any time it feels overwhelming or too much or you're confused, you can always come back to mindfulness of breathing. Or you can just open your eyes to, or feel your feet on the ground, or your seat on the cushion or the chair. All these ways that you can kind of help modulate if the emotion feels like it's too much. So I talked about that we'll have a felt sense of the person. We'll have a, or like maybe visualize them, a felt sense of the body. And the third is that we'll say phrases to support our intention of developing, cultivating loving kindness. So I'll say some phrases that you can repeat silently after me. And the phrases are just a way to kind of help the mind come back. It's natural that our minds wander. Just to help our minds come back. Oh yeah, I'm doing loving kindness meditation. Yeah, just to keep them come back. So with that, let's take an alert, upright posture. And let's begin with three long, slow, deep breaths, just as a way to connect with the body. It might be that with the exhale, there's some letting go, some softening. And Kristen, can I ask that my volume be up just a little bit? I feel like I'm straining my voice too much, a little bit there. Thank you. And then we'll begin with just letting go those areas of tension that can readily be let go of. We don't have to make them go, we're just providing the opportunity for them to soften. Often we hold tension behind our eyes or in our jaw. Sometimes the neck or the shoulders. See if the shoulders can, or the shoulder blades can slide down the back any. You can check in with the back and the front of our torso, the chest and belly. Again, we're not trying to make anything happen. We're just, sometimes when we rest our awareness or pay attention to an area of the body, there can be a certain letting go or softening. You can feel the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel the groundedness. Allow yourself to be supported. The legs and feet. I forgot the arms and the hands, if you haven't checked in with them. And then we'll just do a little bit of mindfulness of breathing. Just to continue this settling process. So you can bring your awareness, bring your attention to the sensations of breathing. So the movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or the feeling of air going in and out of those, in and out of the nose. Just choose where it's the easiest for you to rest your awareness. See if you can feel from the inside, what does it feel like to have an in-breath? What does it feel like to have an out-breath? The nature of our minds to want to think. So if you find yourself lost in thought, it doesn't have to be a problem. Just very simply, gently, bring your awareness back. You can begin again with the sensations of breathing. There's nowhere else to be and nothing else to do except be here, right now. And then we'll start with our loving kindness meditation by bringing to mind, perhaps by visualizing the benefactor or other lovable being. Don't worry if it's not clear exactly who you should choose. Just choose the first one that comes up, and if that feels like there's a softening or warmth of the heart towards this person, then use that person. We can trust our intuition. We can check in with the heart center or the belly. There might already be some warmth or some opening, some letting go, some well-wishing, softening happening. It may not be also. And then to support our intention to cultivate, develop loving kindness, we'll say the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You're welcome to change the phrases in a way that might be more resonant, might feel more heartfelt for you. And of course, it doesn't have to be in English, any language. And again, you can bring to mind the benefactor or lovable being. There's a sense of warmth or openness in the heart center. Maybe you could drop in there, if that makes any sense. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. So I'll be silent for a little bit here, so you can go at your own pace. then we'll build on this foundation of loving kindness for the benefactor. Just make the circle or the area of loving kindness a little bit bigger to include ourselves. Of course we deserve loving kindness. Of course we do. We don't always necessarily give it to ourselves, but doesn't mean we don't deserve it. So some people like to bring to mind an image of themselves, either as they are now or perhaps a younger version of themselves, even as a baby. Some people like to just feel like, what does it feel like to be here now? Maybe the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body, or some other felt sense of being here. Some people like to imagine that somebody else is looking at them and sending them loving kindness. So from a different perspective, third person's perspective. You can do whichever way feels the easiest and the most accessible for you. Way for you to develop, cultivate, nourish, nurture a sense of loving kindness for yourself. So if there was a sense of warmth and care in the heart center or elsewhere in the body with the benefactor, maybe you can allow that to just grow and get as big as it wants without forcing it, without making it be bigger. Just, if it wants to, allow it to get bigger. And then to support our intention for loving kindness towards ourselves, we just change the pronoun in these phrases. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. I be healthy? May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And check in and see if there's a felt sense of warmth or care, some softening, opening. Just notice how that feels. And then I'll be silent here for a little bit so you can go at your own pace. If you'd like, you could go back to loving kindness for the benefactor if that feels richer, juicier, more supportive. Or perhaps even mindfulness of breathing. And then to end this meditation, feel the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So I started talking a little bit about conflict and how so often conflict is about we think another person should be different, that somehow they can't be who they are. But of course, sometimes we're in conflict with ourselves too. We think that we can't be who we are or having the experiences that we're having. Or a loving kindness practice can help us just to, as I said, kind of to increase our capacity to be with ourselves, which allows us to be with others. And also as we recognize in ourselves, oh yeah, sometimes I'm constricted and I want to defend or I have this wounded part of myself. With loving kindness practice, we can start to see or feel or sense that other people have that too. So the difficult people, maybe it becomes a little bit easier to have some compassion, some care for them. Doesn't mean we're going to become best friends, we're going to love them or anything like that. But if we can just soften some of this, you are bad, I'm good. We can just kind of let, instead of having these two polar opposites that seem like they'll never meet, like, okay, you're over there and I'm over here, and without it having to be so well-defined or any of us constricted. Loving kindness practice kind of helps us soften our boundaries and recognize that sometimes we're putting tight boundaries around other people. So now I'd like to open it up to comments or questions, either on what I've been talking about or some of your, maybe share some experiences or questions about loving kindness practice, working with a benefactor, working with yourself, choice of phrases. How does it feel in your body? Maybe you don't feel anything in your body. Visualization. I'm just throwing out different ideas that you could comment on. How many, when at the end, when I said, okay, there will be some silence, and you can, if you'd like, you could go back to loving kindness for a benefactor or perhaps mindfulness of breathing. How many of you decided to stay with loving kindness for yourself? Yeah. And then so some of you decided to shift too. I think that can be part of the skill of this, is to learn, like, where to be. Of course, we don't want to always be where it's easiest, because then we won't grow, right? We know this. But sometimes it just feels like what's needed right now is to be here in this particular practice. So you're invited, you're welcome to make this practice your own, you know, to find your own way. I'm up here giving phrases and setting a pace and all that, but you're welcome to just do it in a way that speaks to your heart, that makes sense, speaks to your head too. Can we send a microphone to Audrey?
I have a question. In my practice, my metta practice at home, I do a benefactor, then myself, and then I do the world and the planet and all sentient beings. And when I do the world, and I know that there are people in the world that I don't know, but that I don't like what they do and whatever, the way that I feel comfortable giving them loving kindness is by thinking that if they're happy, then they'll change. Then maybe they won't act the way they do. Now, is that not the right thought process?
I think this is fantastic, right? Because we don't want our difficult people to be experiencing difficulties, because then they're never going to shift or something like this. So it makes perfect sense that you would have this kind of maybe rationalization.
Yeah, exactly.
But the kind of the beauty of this is that if you stick with that practice, eventually that it can be kind of like a softening of that rationalization, and you'll just wish them loving kindness because you wish loving kindness. So I think often it starts this way, and it's not an easy process, and it's not a short process for us to kind of feel sincerely, very sincerely, loving kindness and care for everybody. That's the direction we're going, but it takes time. It takes time. So I think it makes perfect sense. I did have this idea that maybe I should like set the pace really fast, so then when we end, people have energy, like, oh, okay, I have this. If I kind of like am going slow, then we're kind of.
Just comment that I read something the other day. It wasn't specifically about loving kindness. It was actually mindfulness of thoughts. But the question that was posed was, when there's a difficult person, where is difficult? Like it, and when I started to think about it, when I'm experiencing someone as difficult, there's no physical thing out there that's difficult, and it really kind of broke that up for me, and I sort of realized what's difficult is in my mind, really, and how I'm experiencing things. There's not physical matter called difficult. There's not a box there. So it definitely is a subjective, experiential kind of thing. So that was helpful for me to frame it that way.
Thank you, Kristen. It's so easy to fall in this idea. Yeah, this person is inherently difficult. Nobody loves them whatsoever, right? Their mother, their partners or something. It's easy to kind of get into that. They're just difficult. But this is a great thing. This is often a practice, is to kind of tease apart different elements. Well, maybe that they are loving and caring towards their dog. Mm-hmm. And right, you can say like, so they have elements that are really beautiful, and maybe they have elements that we find difficult, or maybe they say things that are difficult, but maybe the way that they behave in the world is not a problem. They're not, you know, harming people with their actions. Maybe they just say things, or maybe it's vice versa, or just to recognize that people have different aspects to them. And so, but we often are like to just kind of slap a label on them and say, oh, difficult person. Thank you, Kristen.
If the person is like in the middle of someone being mean to me, do you try to do loving kindness at that time, or what do you do? I mean, I don't think it's my subjective thing. I think if the person behaved that way to you, you'd feel like, whoa. do people try to do something during that time when you're being, you know, really the object of something pretty heavy?
Yeah, I'll speak for me. Yeah. I don't really have access that I can send that person loving kindness off when I feel like I'm being attacked or something and I feel really harmed. Mm-hmm. I wish I did. Hopefully I'm moving that direction. Mm-hmm. But often what's really helpful is to kind of just get grounded in a way that's possible, instead of spinning out like, oh, this person is always like this, and how can I get out of here? Or maybe they're right what they're saying. Our minds do things. So often it can be really helpful to just feel one's feet on the ground. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as best as possible to kind of be present and with what's happening. Mm-hmm. And perhaps not say anything. Just as best, that may not be appropriate too, I don't know, but to like put that in the mix of something that may be appropriate, yeah, is to maybe be there and then maybe say, you know what, I think I need a break, or I need to think about this, or I think that if I were to respond right now, it wouldn't be with my greatest wisdom, or mm-hmm, something like that, mm-hmm, and to excuse oneself. Sometimes it can be really helpful just by time, so that then we can respond in a more skillful way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be helpful to bring in loving kindness, mm-hmm, but not necessarily for that person. Loving kindness for the benefactor, for, you know, mm-hmm, bunny rabbits, kittens, babies, yeah, I don't know, yourself, also, mm-hmm, for yourself, so that we can kind of soften any feeling of ill will or aversion that may be growing towards this person. Mm-hmm. It would be fantastic if we could have loving kindness towards these people. And that's what we're going, that's the direction we're going, but it's not always easy. Was that helpful, Anne?
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, maybe I have a logistical question, because this is the first time I hear. How often do you do these six? Is this like an everyday thing or once a week thing?
So this guided, what we're calling happy hour, is Wednesdays, 6 to 7. So just once a week. Mostly what we do here at IMC are not guided meditations, just periods of silence and that. So Wednesday, 6 to 7, every Wednesday. And I alternate. I have another, so Nikki Mercafori is other weeks, but she and I go on retreat and teach retreats. So roughly we alternate back and forth, but it's not always that way. But now if you look on the calendar, you can see which one of us is teaching. And I'm Diana Clark. If you're wondering, who is this person sitting over here? We have time for one more comment, if anybody has something they'd like to share or say or ask.
So this is my second time. Oh, thank you.
Welcome.
This is my second time here, and thank you. It's been really great. The last phrase that you used, may I live with ease, in my mind, I changed it, may I live with peace. Mm-hmm. And partly because I thought, well, living with ease seems decadent and is not necessarily going to lead to, you know, happiness or whatever. And living with peace can be complicated given what you were talking about earlier of dealing with somebody who is difficult. So in fact, learning to live with peace and make peace is about giving that sort of space of you be you and I be me. But I wasn't sure if that made sense to anybody else. So anyway, just wanted to sort of share that as the, when you were saying sort of last comment, and I don't know if that resonates with anybody else, but figured I'd say that.
I think it's great that you found a word that feels a little bit more resonant for you. And somebody just a few weeks ago asked about this phrase too, live with ease. What is that about? This is my interpretation of it, one way that I'm holding it, is to live or to experience my life without oppression, without kind of, you know, like racism, patriarchy, whatever it might be that we feel oppressed, work hours or, you know, whatever it is, that we live with enough ease that we don't feel this pressing down on us, something like that. That's how I'm holding it. So it's maybe like this nebulous thing that we feel heavier on us. May we not have that. Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, it's 7:00. There's something that's that'll be here at 7:30, so that people will start coming in and that. But I'm happy to stay up here if you have more questions or comments. And may you live with ease. Thank you. Oh, yeah, and so we can just leave the chairs as they are. Thank you.